Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
First and goal, Bears, book 39, left in regulation. Swift to the outside, in for the Chicago touchdown. And the Bears punching back have retaken the lead here in Vegas.
We are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You are listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Judson Richards along with you until 5 a.m. this morning. We are live. We are ready to talk Bears football. Text line is open as well. You can get us on the same number for both of those. Text and call 312-644-6767. A reminder, coming up with Mully and Haw this morning, Brad Biggs, 725. Olin Kreutz at 8 o'clock. Bruce Levine at 825. Aditi Kinkabwala, CBS reporter for the Bears-Raiders game. She will join the guys at 9 o'clock. And it'll be interesting to hear how she felt about that exchange between she and Ben Johnson, perhaps maybe best described as awkward. I think other people wanted to put it in another light. I think Ben is just so intense, and then he tried to have a back and forth or be funny. I don't just it was strange. I think he would probably admit it. It'll be interesting to hear what Aditi has to say about it coming up at 9 o'clock. Asking you out there. There's been so much made about potentially a culture builder in this game. And, you know, when you're changing the culture or building a culture, perhaps that means more wins ahead. Do you believe that the Bears are turning the proverbial corner? And where is your belief in number 18, Caleb Williams? Is he your guy? Do you think that Caleb Williams can become the guy that selected number one overall? Can he be that guy, the one that you hope ultimately he can be? When he was drafted back in 2024, number one overall by the Bears. 312-644-6767. That highlight there from DeAndre Swift. Swift rushed it in. Caleb did so much on that last drive. Not only with his arms, with his legs as well. 11 plays, 69 yards, 5 minutes and 11 seconds. Allowed the Bears to take the lead. Certainly wasn't convinced they were going to keep the lead, especially with the lengthy kickoff return by the Raiders, but they do ultimately get the victory. But you just have to wonder how much longer the Bears will continue to give the ball, at least predominantly, to DeAndre Swift. 14 carries, 38 yards tonight, yesterday in fact, a 2.7 yards per carry average. Kyle Manungai only had 4 carries, 18 yards. That's a 4.5 yards per carry average. Now, DeAndre Swift on the season, averaging 3.3 yards a carry in 4 games. That's the lowest in his career. Against the Cowboys, averaged 2.5 yards rush per attempt against the Cowboys, 2.7 yesterday. It just ultimately looks like it's not working. Now, maybe if the coaching staff takes you in the film room and they say, well, let me show you where we missed this block or this hole wasn't available or this guy was supposed to go here and it's not DeAndre Swift's fault, maybe that's what the coaching staff is seeing. First of all, what I see is a terrible rushing attack by the Bears. It's just not good, right? Like, they're going to have a chance to do some self-scouting over the bye week. They're going to study the rush defense, which is the worst in the NFL. And the rush offense for the Bears isn't much better. Do I think that DeAndre Swift isn't going to be carrying the ball against the Washington Commanders in 2 weeks? No, I think he will. I guess I'm just saying, let me see more of number 25. Like, let me see more of Kyle Manungai. I know he's a seventh rounder, but he looks, well, he certainly doesn't look any worse than DeAndre Swift, I guess is what I'm saying. Whether it's stylistically, whether it's schematically, or whether DeAndre Swift just isn't a really good running back when it comes to doing a little something extra. Right? Like, ultimately, don't you want your running back, yes, to go the right direction, yes, hit the right hole, but perhaps make somebody miss or run somebody over? The one thing I will say about DeAndre Swift is I can see him wanting to be better, right? Like, at times you see him jump up frustrated that he wasn't able to do more. Like, it's not like he's lacking effort by any means. And you could see in the preseason that I think that the Bears challenged him more to not be kind of a scat back type or someone that's going to just bounce it outside, but to be more of an in-between the tackles kind of runner and be more punishing. You could see that in the preseason. You don't really see much punishment at all right now from DeAndre Swift. I mean, this offense, somehow they ran for 69 yards. If you remove Caleb Williams, it would be 56 yards on the ground. And then combined to, yikes, the Raiders not only rushed for 240 yards, they averaged 7.7 yards per carry. There's a lot of areas in this box score where you go, how the hell did the Bears win this game? And then it's like, oh yeah, they intercepted three passes and took away a fumble as well. Like, the turnover game was it, and then you blocked a punt. A 54-yarder inside in the NFL feels a little bit like a chip shot. I just don't know, coming out of this bye week as they do some serious self-scouting, if DeAndre Swift can be your primary back. Maybe you don't have any other options. That just may be it. You know, the thing about the draft is you have to acknowledge you cannot fix every hole in one draft, right? Sometimes you may have to be patient about how you fix a certain area on your team. Maybe when you get to free agency 1 year, even though you know that you need someone in a particular spot, maybe those guys aren't there, but you know that there's a crop of them coming up the following year. So the Bears may have just thought, let's stick with DeAndre. We've paid him. And then the draft didn't fall the way that they wanted it to, albeit it was considered one of the deepest running back classes in years. But you end up going with Kyle Manungai in round number 7. I just think Manungai needs more carries. What's the worst that can happen? You can't get all that much worse, especially with what we've seen the last couple of games. 312-644-6767. Let's check in with Lawrence Holmes of the Spiegel & Holmes Show. Lawrence is there in Las Vegas. They will be doing their show there again today. As we talked to Lawrence a little bit earlier, let's revisit it. Lawrence, how did you enjoy this Bears victory?
Well, you know, we've been here at Circa all weekend, and we've had a lot of stuff that we've been doing with clients. So I stuck around. I was thinking about going to the game and covering it like old school media style, but I figured I would hang out. And here's what I did. And I'll just preview something that we're going to do on Spiegel & Holmes later on today. I have spent the entire day, Judson, looking at Bears fans who have been here at Circa and what jerseys they have on, like what Bears jerseys. And I have a spreadsheet. That's how many Bears fans I've encountered since this morning, since we came up with the idea. And I mean, it runs the gamut. So I watched the game here, took my notes, you know, got ready to do all my post-game stuff. The way that that game ended was satisfying, I think, for a lot of Bears fans. It was completely satisfying to see them win in a way that it looked like that game was going to be the end of them, and it was going to cause a lot of consternation over the next few weeks. But to see them work as hard as they did and put together another one of those soul-crushing drives against an opponent like we saw last week was extremely satisfying.
Lawrence, I can only imagine what you saw with those jerseys, so I look forward to that. And I'm assuming a good number of them were number 18 jerseys, or there's going to be far more number 18 jerseys being worn. I went and looked at that losing streak last year, that 10-game losing skid. Five of those games they lost by single digits, right? Like we'd watched this before where Caleb would have a game-winning drive or a go-ahead drive, and then they would just lose it. But this ended up different. This looked different, and perhaps this is different.
Yeah, and you don't want to try and draw too much from it, because you look at the last two opponents and you say there are some things missing from both the Cowboys and from the Raiders. But what you are seeing, I think, is continued growth in Caleb Williams and belief in what it is that Ben Johnson is doing. I watched the post-game stuff in the locker room, and that's a team that's starting to think that their coach knows how to do this job. And, you know, like you played sports at a high level. It's one thing for someone to tell you what's going on. It's another thing to get the results from the hard work that helps reinforce the idea that all the things that you're doing are the right things.
Yeah, no doubt. Lawrence Holmes from Spiegel & Holmes with us as we celebrate this 25-24 victory as the Bears take down the Raiders in Las Vegas. And Lawrence, you mentioned that, you know, because you said it, right? They have a bye week. They don't play until October 13th against the Commanders Monday Night Football. That'll be a lot of fun. But I was thinking a lot about that ride home, that flight home, that commute home, right? Like we know they beat the Cowboys, they beat the Raiders, the way that it's gone, the way that it looked, because there was a lot of bad football today from the Bears. But what that kind of can breathe into you and what you can live with until they meet up with the Commanders, there is so much growth in it in itself as you're trying to build a new culture.
And because you're on bye, this could be a very fun flight home.
Yes, that's a good point.
It doesn't have to be the one for treatment. It can be the let's have a good time on this, you know, 3-hour flight back. Let's and Ben can give them tomorrow and Tuesday off, and have a light practice Wednesday and Thursday, and give them a whole weekend off. Those are the types of things that when you're winning, it's easier to justify from a head coaching standpoint. And to have two full weeks off, too. Well, like you said, it's a Monday night game against Washington. So it's two full weeks for guys to recover, for them to figure some things out. Like the tackle situation is a problem. And the fact that we're now at Theo Benedict and Ozzie Trapillo being the two tackles for this team, that's going to they're going to have to work through that. And I thought that those guys playing left and right respectively actually did a decent job in the second half against Max Crosby. In the first half, I wouldn't be surprised if he still ends up being AFC Defensive Player of the Week.
Yep.
He was amazing. The pressures, the tackle for losses, the forced fumble, the interception, like the pass breakups that he had in the game, it was amazing. But they did just enough in the third and fourth quarter that the Bears were able to sustain a couple of drives. But that being said, there's still a lot of work there. Like, that's not ideal that you have an undrafted free agent and a rookie as your tackles. Now, it's bolstered because you have such a veteran interior on your line, but still – if you know that it's going to be Benedict and Trapillo, if you're Washington, you can start thinking of ways to try and attack them.
Lawrence, I watched your post-game video. You said something really interesting about the run game and how they were able to actually get it going, or at least, you know, they could move the chains or complement the passing game when they needed to. What do you make of where they're at as of now? DeAndre Swift still really seems to be having some struggles, and I thought Kyle Manungai had a lift a couple of times, and should we be seeing more of him?
They got to figure something out. It just doesn't seem to... It doesn't seem to be working for Swift as your guy that's going to run the interior, even though he did come up with a big run in the interior towards the end of the game. He seems like he would be a really great complement to someone else. So they've got to figure out who that is. It's a frustrating thing, Judson, because you think back to the pre-draft process and you look around and there are a lot of young running backs that were there for the Bears to take in the second round. I know that there were a ton of Bears fans that wanted the Bears to draft Ashton Jeanty. And you saw what he's capable of inside of today's game. He was very special after being very pedestrian for the first three games of the season. They've got to, and the thing is, I don't know if it's an issue of scheme. Like I've seen Ben Johnson's run scheme work in Detroit, and you have to keep in mind that he didn't want DeAndre Swift. That 3 years ago they moved on from DeAndre Swift, and now this is the best running back on the Bears roster. That's something that you look at Ryan Poles and go, did you give your team the best chance to take the next step forward offensively when you still have something like that and as a problem for your team?
Yeah, the Bears had all of two rushing yards at halftime. I mean, listen, without the takeaways, they don't win this game. They do get it done. Lawrence, finally, your takeaway of where we're at 4 weeks in with Caleb Williams.
I think, you know, Theo Epstein always talked about development not always being linear. I think that so far Caleb's development with Ben Johnson has been kind of linear, and we're seeing him get better. Now, last week, that Dallas defense is atrocious. Like, we saw it again tonight. They gave up 40 points tonight. But what I am impressed by is he's got an ability to understand when to, as the kids say, lock in. Like that's something that even last year you would see with Caleb at the end of games, that he will make the great play. And he did that. Like that throw to Rome Odunze over the middle, that scramble that ended up putting them in a much more manageable third and three. Those are all things that you want to see your quarterback do, him be a part of winning. And now it's just a matter of continuing to be more consistent on some of the plays that the layups, they keep talking about that. That's the beautiful thing about this, Judson, is they can still coach off of this, that they don't have to, the winning helps with the coaching. It's, I think, from my experience of covering NFL teams, it's always easier when you're coaching off of wins. You can go harder with the players because, hey, we won, but we can get better. And the players that I've covered, they always craved to get better. And now Ben Johnson has this in front of him with all of the young players, but specifically with Caleb, to say, look at what we did. Look at what we accomplished. But you can still be better. We could have been in a situation where we didn't have to, you know, struggle to come back in this. But doing it on a win, it makes things a lot easier.
Lawrence, I know it's a few hours away, but you want to set your show for us today? I know you're talking to one Hall of Famer at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun. Like, Kurt Warner is going to join us on the show. We're also going to talk about our trips. We had an incredible experience watching the Sunday night game. Matt Walsh from Veep, he was there with us.
Yeah, really?
He went to the game, and he was decked out in a jersey and the whole thing. And Scott Armstrong, who wrote Old School and Semi-Pro, he was there with us. Like, so we were all just hanging out at the pool watching the Packers game end in a tie, which is very unsatisfying. But that's been like the theme of this weekend, is how many Bears fans, and you heard it at Allegiant Stadium.
Yep.
The Bears fans were there. That was like a home game. And that's a disadvantage for a Raiders franchise overall, because you look at the fan bases that can come and invade that place. Bears fans travel, Dallas fans travel, Rams fans travel. They'll at least travel to Las Vegas. Phoenix fans will travel. Like, it's such a transient place filled with so many different types of people that it's easy for another team's fan base to come in and take over. And I'm not surprised. Bears fans do this in a lot of places. And I knew for sure with all the snowbirds that are down here and close enough in Phoenix to come up that we would see this. And I think it was beneficial for the Bears and the way that those guys reacted after the game, watching them on the field, enjoying this win and seeing Bears fans cheering them on. I think all of it was pretty great.
Yeah. A few weeks ago, Packers were talking about running the table. Over the last two NFL weekends, yeah, it is. But over the last two NFL weekends, the Bears have won two in a row, and the Packers have gone winless. Hard to believe. Lawrence, thank you so much for doing this, buddy. We will be listening this afternoon.
Thanks, Justin.
All right, good stuff from Lawrence Holmes there. Just a reminder, coming up, Spiegel Holmes this afternoon from Las Vegas, Kurt Warner, the Hall of Famer at 3 o'clock, and Jason Leisure of the Chicago Sun-Times will join them at 4 o'clock. By the way, since we're at it, Raheem Harris and Grody, Dan Weider at 11, Anthony Herron at 1 o'clock, Mully and Hawk coming up in just a couple of hours, Brad Big, 7:25, Olin Kreutz at 8 o'clock, Bruce Levine talks of baseball at 8:25, cannot wait for Aditi Kinkobal to give her side of the story on that back and forth. Aditi is the CBS reporter. She had the call for Bears Raiders on CBS, so her halftime back and forth with Ben Johnson. Look forward to hearing that. She'll join Mully and Hawk coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. Coming up next, did you hear Ben Johnson in postgame? Did you see him, first of all? Because this was a man who knew he won a game, knew he should be happy, but his face was not going to tell you that he was happy about what unfolded, which can't really blame him with what happened in the trenches for the Bears, with the way that they tried to stop the run and the way that they actually ran it. But good stuff from Ben Johnson. We will hear from both the head coach and the quarterback coming up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm next.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
A blocked field goal by the Chicago Bears in the closing seconds, and they're going to get out of here somehow, some way, with a second straight win. Caleb Williams, it wasn't pretty, But again, how do you navigate these ugly, physical, grind-out games? And somehow, they're going to get themselves to 2-2. For the Green Bay Packers, the only team before today to have 800 all-time victories. They're now joined on that list by the Chicago Bears. 25-24, our final score here at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas.
You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank. And great clips. That was Spiro Dedis on the call for CBS. Adam Archuleta was there, too. Spiro used the phrase there. I just caught that, Grant. Spiro used the phrase, somehow the Bears are going to, I don't know if you use the word escape with a victory, but you get what he means by saying somehow.
Absolutely.
I'm going to say that the Bears won that game. Like, I understand it was ugly, but since when does doing proper prep work, like learning a tell that the Raiders' long snapper had and then executing it, not allow you to be, and I don't want to overreact, but if you were to ask me, like, did the Raiders lose it or did the Bears win it, I see it more as the Bears winning that football game. First of all, one of the two Byard interceptions was outstanding. And the Tyreek Stevenson interception may be one of the best picks you will see all year. So although the defense gave up 4 million yards on the ground, the best way to stop them is to take the ball away from them. 3 interceptions, a forced fumble, Caleb Williams in a game-winning drive, and then Josh Blackwell talking to long snapper Scott Daly, who said, hey, check out this tell that their long snapper has, to then executing it. I'm sorry, Spiro Dedis, but I say that the Bears more won that game than lost that game. Let me know. 312-644-6767. Text us or call us. We are here. We are live on a Bears Monday. The Mullen Hall pregame show coming your way at 5 o'clock. Mullen Hall will take over at 5:30 this morning. But as of now, you are stuck with us. I am Judson Richards. He is Grant Leader. What do you say out there? Did the Raiders fumble this one away? Or did the Bears win it, albeit in an ugly fashion, right? Like, this was, you know, Hunchback of Notre Dame. This was a Shrek win. It was ugly. But damn, this team had so many injuries. I mean, they are without 6 starters if you count Jalen Johnson on the IR. Like, those were some crucial names that they were without. I mean, did you see the list of people that could not make it for this game? Darnell Wright could not go. Colston Loveland could not go. Grady Jarrett, who's been playing the hardest, like snap by snap defensively, the guy just giving you everything, Grady Jarrett could not go. TJ Edwards could not go. Kyler Gordon could not go. Especially on the defensive side of the ball, if you add Jalen Johnson in there as well. Like, yes, winning ugly, that absolutely happened. But also, I would add in winning shorthanded with how beat up they are. And maybe they'll just be a team that has injuries all year and it'll impact them. I don't know. But if you're going glass half full, then you're like, damn, a week 5 bye week is perfect for where we stand right now. If you think, hey, they just have guys that can't stay on the field, then okay, then that's, you know, that may be the case. I was looking at this text, by the way, 312-644-6767. This text from the 815, the Bears have so many things wrong. You're not going to win football games against good teams playing like that.
Well, who said the Bears were a good team right now?
Well, I don't know. Well, but he said you're not going to beat good teams.
Sure. But going again, are we saying the Bears are a good team right now? They're so injured on the defensive side and the offensive line. And yes, they're pulling out wins. But yes, I agree. The Bears did win this game instead of the Raiders losing this game. But if the Bears are a good team right now, I feel like they would be scoring more and putting up 40 points per game, things like that. Like, I'm not going to say they're going to go in and beat the Bills or they're going to go in and beat the Ravens, who right now I don't think is a good team right now either. But
But it is early.
It's early. Yeah. And if you look at the Ravens schedule, they get a very easy go of it after the Rams game. So, and it's one of the Bears' opponents too. So,
well, 500 is not good. 500 is mediocre.
Right.
The Bears have had a great showing against the Dallas Cowboys, and you'd like to see them do more of that. Let's not forget, you know, the Bears started the season against two teams that combined to win 29 games last year, with the Lions that won 15 and then the Vikings that won 14. Now, the Vikings lost yesterday in Ireland to the Pittsburgh Steelers, so perhaps the Vikings will not be the team that everyone thinks that they're going to be. But I'll say this when it comes to, quote-unquote, they're not going to beat good teams that way. Well, first of all, I would agree. But I also don't think this was like not the best, but probably not the fair representation of who the Bears ultimately are, because I do recognize injuries. Some may say, you're making excuses. If we can agree first-team players are better than backup players, then you probably have to recognize they're not at their best right now. But if you look at the league as a whole, and Grant, you brought up the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are 1-3. There are two NFL teams who are undefeated 4 games into the season. There are only 2 games that have not lost. The Buffalo Bills are 4-0. The Philadelphia Eagles are 4-0. So as far as who is good and who is bad, that's still unraveling in front of us. We're still trying to get an idea. But as of now, it is all very muddy. And the Washington Commanders that the Bears will see next are 2-2. So when you say the Bears aren't going to beat good teams, we don't even really know who is a good team. And I think you can apply that same process, that thought process, to the Bears as well about who they may become.
Do we even think the Commanders are a good team without Jaden Daniels? Because
or even with Jaden Daniels.
I think they're a good team with Jaden Daniels, taking them to the NFC Championship game. But Marcus Mariota is definitely a backup for a reason, and losing to the Falcons is not a good look if you're considering the Commanders being a good team. They need Jaden Daniels at the quarterback position.
I'll say this, too, about Jaden Daniels. Like, what happens now when we talk about C.J. Stroud? The conversation about C.J., drastically different than after year one.
No doubt.
Jaden Daniels being beat up, getting hurt, missing time, but ultimately we'll have to see what it looks like on the field as well. We just, you know, we like to anoint and we like to decide who is awful as quickly as possible. When we let things play out a little bit, they end up looking a little bit different. Speaking of playing out, Ben Johnson addressed the media. His face told you that they lost, but his words told you that they won. Here's what Ben Johnson had to say in post.
Came out of that game pretty clean. There really was nobody that of note that didn't finish the game. We're in good shape there. Man, I'm proud of our guys. They came through for us. We're building something special here, and I think they're feeling it. Just the belief they have in each other, the belief they have in this coaching staff, I thought it really shone through. This is a huge win for our team. Finding a way in the fourth quarter to come out on top, I just thought that was outstanding for us. So proud of our guys, proud of the locker room. I know it's an ugly game at times. You know, I thought I'd give a lot of credit to the Raiders. They played their tails off, which we knew they would. You know, Coach Carroll is such a good coach, and they have so many good players on their side that it was going to be a dogfight. And they were desperate for a win, and we were desperate for a win as well. And, you know, it came down right to the wire, just like we thought it might. And so, like I said, that's a huge character win for our team, and I just love it for them. Open it up.
For Josh Blackwell, as you've got to know him, what's it going to say about him to make that play?
Yeah, man, he came through for us right when we needed it. And, you know, I'm listening on the headset, and Coach Hightower, who does just such an incredible job with our special teams unit in all those phases, he's kind of narrating it in real time, and he's like, yeah, Blackwell's going to get this one for us. He's going to come through. And sure enough, it came to light just like he thought. And so, man, I was so proud of him. He's a guy that not only is a key cog of what we do on special teams, but a key contributor there as a backup in our DB room. And, you know, that was huge for him.
You mentioned this sloppy game. Talk about some of the penalties and negative yardage. How did you kind of balance almost your own emotions and then obviously the team's emotions as you weathered all of that?
Yeah, it's easy to get frustrated, but we don't panic. We just don't. It's not who we are, and that's not what we do. And so, you know, we have a three and out to start the game, I believe, on offense. And, you know, defense comes through for us. And, you know, they end up with four turnovers on the day, and we're not able to capitalize on those turnovers to the extent that we'd like to. You know, and I could see where either side of the ball would get really frustrated. I could see where the defense would get frustrated with the offense and the offense frustrated with ourselves. And you know, that didn't happen. Everybody stayed the course. No one panicked whatsoever. I thought we came in at halftime. We hit that reset button. That's what we talked about. Take a deep breath, and let's come out and play 30 minutes and find a way to win.
What impressed you most about the game when you drive?
Oh, shoot. I can't remember play by play, to be honest with you, but I remember talking to Caleb before he took the field, and I said, this is what you're built for. These are the moments that he thrives in the most. I think that's really been the story of his life, to be honest with you. And I know he came through for us in a big way. That was a heck of a pass rush. We knew what 98 was capable of. And then, you know, the rest of those guys are really hard blocks as well. And so for us to look up, and we only had one sack, it certainly felt a lot worse than that, because Caleb was having to elude a lot and continue to evade that rush. And so, you know, he found a way. The playmakers found a way. Our O-line found a way to hold on there for us to get a touchdown when we needed it the most.
It was tough sliding through the run game most of the game, but on third and four there at the end to call on Swift, what went into that decision to call that? I mean, I'm sure it's four down territory, but to trust Swift, to trust your guys in that moment.
Yeah, I've that's a hard one to answer right now, to be honest with you. I just, in the moment, it's just what you're feeling, what your gut's telling you is going to work. And so my gut was probably wrong a lot of the night. So it was good to see it come through. And really, it's a credit to those guys. I mean, they know we get down there inside the five. That's what we want to do. We want to be able to run it inside the 10-yard line. And I think they came through for us.
Where did you see from Ashton Jensen, and what made him so hard to
continue? It's exactly what you saw on tape. Whether in college or the first three games this year, he's so compact that you have to hit him a certain way to bring him down. It's really hard for one individual to bring him down, and I thought you saw that time and time again, where arm tackles, they're not going to do it. It's going to take a swarming mentality by the entire defense. And if it is just one man, you got to hit him just right to bring him to the ground. So, you know, we had a plan to look to contain him, and he got after us pretty good. Yeah, I thought that O-line for them, they came out guns a-blazing as well.
And what do you think about the atmosphere here inside? You just say it seemed like a lot of Bears fans.
Yeah, it's my first time here in Allegiant, and pretty cool to see the Bears fans travel like they did. You know, it's the appeal of Vegas might have had something to do with it, but yeah, I'd love for that to happen every away game we have going forward.
What went into the offensive tackle switch you guys made?
Yeah, we knew going into the game that Ozzie was likely to get some snaps for us. He's a guy that just keeps getting better each and every week, and so we were just at the point where we weren't doing a whole lot on offense, and we felt like that might give us a little spark and ignite us a little bit on offense there.
Speaking of the spark, what was it like getting four turnovers, second straight game, three interceptions, second straight game, and they're not even interceptions, or a couple of them are diving runs.
I know. We talked about it. We talked about it last night, how we were going to need to get some turnovers on the road here to get our first road win, and those guys came through. Byard came through with two of them. I thought Tyreek had a one of the more athletic plays I've seen. The way he bounced up after that, I thought that was incredible. And then, we don't win that game without those turnovers. You know, just the way that they were able to move the ball. You know, like I said, had we been able on offense to capitalize on that a little bit more, it wouldn't have come down to the wire like that. But one for four in the red zone for us on offense, it's not gonna win you a whole lot of games.
And sorry if you already answered this, but you talk all the time about the pride you in your group take and adjusting. With Caleb today and the pass rush that he was facing, did you see
some adjustment in the second half to realize that there isn't time enough to be fast.
Yeah, I really felt like our guys just focused in, and they took a deep breath there at halftime, and they took a lot of pride in doing the best job that they could. So I'll have to go back and I'll look at the tape. I don't know, play call wise, if I was really that different in the second half than I was the first half, but I'll have to go back and I'll look at that.
Ben, was that a diversion of stumble bum we saw earlier in the game?
Yeah, you know, that was one of those, you know, we have a group of guys that come up with plays, and we felt like that could take advantage of something that we saw. We were really in two down territory in my mind at that point anyway, so I knew that we were going to go for an explosive play on that one, and if we didn't get it, then we were going to go for it on the next one. So it happens sometimes, you know. I mean, that's the cost of doing business. Some of them hit, some of them don't.
You guys had Torrey Taylor kickoff. Was that already covered in here?
Yeah, so Cairo was feeling a little something, and we were getting him checked out, and so Torrey came through for us. From my understanding, Cairo was good to go.
All right, so that was Ben Johnson in post. A couple of takeaways from there. He told Caleb Williams on that final drive, this is what you're built for. And Ben Johnson also admitted that he did not have his best day as an offensive coordinator. You feel a little bit like it was a team that bailed out the OC, Ben Johnson, with the amount of takeaways and ultimately the blocked field goal attempt at the end of the game. One of the reasons why they did win that last drive from the Bears, 11 plays, 69 yards, 5 minutes, 11 seconds to get in the end zone, led by quarterback Caleb Williams. Here's Caleb in post.
Let's get it going.
Caleb, the Bears so long have been on the wrong side of these finishes, and
yeah,
got a taste of that last year. What was this like to see it go your way at the end?
Yeah, it's something we practice. It's something that we execute at the end of the game. It comes down to that. It comes down to execution as a team on all sides of the ball. If you look at it, offense did their job at the end of the game. Obviously, it's not what we wanted, you know, the whole game. But when it came down to it, you can only win the game in the fourth quarter. And so it came down to that. We marched down the field. Everybody did a good job on that on the offensive side of the ball. Defense did a great job. Obviously, you know, they wanted to keep him out of field goal range. They have a great kicker. He was in field goal range. But, you know, defense did a good job keeping at a long distance for a field goal, meaning that the trajectory of the ball has to be kicked at a certain height, and the special team. So all three sides of the ball at the end of the game came through, and that's what you wish for.
You mentioned a tough day offensively overall. How did you adjust to seeing that you're just not going to have a lot of time? You're going to be under pressure the whole day.
Yeah, I think it's something that you know. It's something that you know coming into a game. I think the guys did a great job, to be honest. They got a hell of a player over there. He's probably the best player that I've ever played against so far in my career. And so, they got a hell of a player. And so understanding that coming into the game, trying to get the ball out as fast as possible, get it to my guys. And I think I can do a better job of that early in the game, getting everybody in rhythm. So that's a part of it. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's what happened. You know, we got some guys in there that, I mean, it's their first time, you know, playing and suiting up, especially versus a guy like that, and they did a hell of a job. So I'm proud of the guys, especially the way we fought. That's all you can ask for at the end of the day. And now we're 2-2 going into a bye week.
Did it remind you at all of the Commanders game, kind of before the field or before the Hail Mary?
Marching, just like the feeling of like it's slow the whole game. Yeah. I think you can say that. It reminds you of that moment, of being able to have a grimy game, like you said, and just, you know, things aren't working as well as you want. You're in, you know, your defense puts you in, I think we were in, you know, for all those picks or something, or at least three of them, I think we were 30 yards out, and you know, they did a hell of a job, and so and we didn't do our part in those senses of being able to go score and, you know, create momentum for us as, you know, us as a team. But the defense, you know, they stood strong for us. Special teams stood strong for us. And, you know, at the end of the day, we all came together at the end and, you know, came out victorious.
David, when you can throw a game on the line drives,
yeah,
why do you think you respond so well individually?
I think the belief, I think those moments that, you know, we're born for, that I'm born for. And I think being able to portray the belief that, you know, guys, this is all we got and this is all we need. We're you know, in a position where we're not in a favorite position. We're down. It's all 11 of us on the field, and we got to go do a job. And so I think just the belief, the trust, the hard work that we put in, those are the moments that you wish for. Those are moments that you dream about. And so being able to have those moments and come through is important for, one, the confidence, especially, like I said, in the moment where, you know, it's not a favorite position. You're away, you're down, and you got to go win the game. So it's a confidence builder. It's a culture builder for us. And, you know, especially the type of game we had, a grimy game, like you said, and being able to come together in the end, it builds a lot of confidence for us. And obviously we have things that we have to find ways to get better, get the run game going, get early completions, fast completions. And then obviously when we get our shots, take them. But I think we're, you know, we're creating something, you know, special here, and we got to keep going. Something that we got to keep building on. But it's a tough team, tough opponent over there, tough defense, and they got you know some really good players over there. And so being able to come together and find a way to come out victorious is, like I said, I think it's a big win for us, especially my first one on the road.
After the defense turned them away, they were like deep in the red zone. Like, what worked for you guys?
Which
like at the end of the third quarter, when you guys get the ball back, I think you went like 8 plays without an incompletion.
Okay.
And then the one where DeAndre scored. What worked so well on that drive?
Oh, like the last, like right before the last. What worked so well? To be honest, in that moment, Ben came over to me right before, and he goes, you know, these are times that you're made for. So, you know, it provided, you know, belief and confidence that he has in me. And then from there, I went to the huddle and, you know, looked everybody in the eyes, and, you know, this is the moment. This is where we go win the game. And, you know, just trying to be as composed. Obviously, we had a negative play on that drive that set us back, I think, 10 yards on the holding. And just being composed, trying to be as calm as possible for those guys and look everybody in the eyes and understand that this is our moment, this is where we go win the game.
How much does Ben help, you just mentioned that thing he said to you, but throughout the game, how much does he help you guys with that resilience to stay in it? Because you got to, I mean, I'm sure he was frustrated as you were.
Yeah.
But how did he kind of help you guys stay level-headed and stay resilient?
Yeah, I mean, kudos to the coaches. We go into halftime and we had, I don't know how many passing yards and how many rushing yards, but it was, I think it was below 100 both total. And so I think when we got into that locker room, Ben's calmness, Coach Johnson's calmness, his belief, his understanding of that's not our brand of football. And that's what he told us. And we went back out there and we found ways to stop them, to move the ball down the field, and special teams doing their job also.
Okay, what was your vantage point on Blackwell's block?
I was sitting down, and my guy Petey was right behind me. I was sitting down trying to be calm, just, you know, not too high, not too low in those moments. Believe in our guys, and you know, they did a hell of a job being able to come through for us. And then,
how do you describe the noise of that where you've got 35,000 Bears fans that react?
Yeah, it's so I was looking. I didn't have my eyes closed or anything. So I was looking, and you know, I'm watching, and obviously you can hear him kick, and you're trying to figure out where the ball went. So I'm looking up, trying to find the ball, and I end up seeing the ball, you know, squirt out, you know, only, you know, 15 yards or so. And you know, those are moments that you wish for, that we train for, opportunities that those guys train for. And so proud of those guys, happy for those guys, and you know, it's a big moment for us.
The touchdown to Rome, the pocket was closing in there. What did you see on that play?
Yeah, Rome was running a good route, and I felt and saw some space, and just the belief in Rome that when he was going to break, and stood in there, and you know, if I was going to get hit, but believing that Rome was going to come out his break, and I was going to deliver him a solid ball enough to, you know, be able to catch it at least, and you know, he did a great job being able to catch it on a run and go score.
You've talked about belief.
Yeah.
To have two wins in a row going into the bye and just to kind of be able to marinate on that a little bit. What does this mean for the team that you've got some proof of concept that this stuff works?
Yeah, this is big. Every win is big for belief and confidence for us. But to be able to go 0-2 and then fight back, now going to the bye being 2-2, it's kudos to the coaches, kudos to us as players. And like I've said, we got too many guys that care. Our guys, whether it's coaches or players, but specifically speaking about the players, we got a lot of guys that care and care about each other, but also care about the outcome of this team. I think being able to come together, I think adversity does that to the great teams. And we had some adversity our first two games versus divisional opponents. And so being able to come together, fight together, and be able to have a game how we had last week, but also have this supremely tough game where, you know, not all cylinders are hitting on the same moment, and then, you know, we all come together at a certain time and we go win the game.
Caleb, was that
couple more
bizarre question, but given who your head coach is, was that a fake stumble?
That was a fake stumble. It was a fake stumble. They did a great job on defense. They end up getting some run through. I should have hit Rome even after the scramble. It was frustrating being able to miss that pass. But they did a good job on defense, and they covered it down and got some run through, so I couldn't go through the other progressions. But, you know, yeah, it was a fake stumble.
Okay, since the summer, Ben being pretty encouraged about the timing of the bye, feeling like it's
yes.
You got a chance offensively to scale that or zoom out and look at it. What do you think happens over the next 2 weeks that allow you to kind of reset coming out?
Yeah, an early bye like this, I think it does do that for us. But also, it's like another, in a sense, like training camp in a way. You get to look back on, you know, what we've done well, what we haven't done well, and you get to adapt and adjust to those things. And I think us as a team, that's what we're going to do, especially with the momentum that we've had with, you know, the home win, our first home win to this first away win. And so I think being able to look back on all of that and the tape always, you know, and everything feels better when, you know, you win. But we got to look back on it and look back on it and be truth tellers, like I've said before, and figure out what we do best to be able to keep this winning streak going.
You were how last one, Jason, grown when it comes to having to make it work in imperfect circumstances or adverse circumstances today, where you don't have a running game and there's a lot of pressure coming.
Yeah, I think the biggest growth is being able to keep my composure for the guys. Most importantly, it's not just the other 10 guys on the field. It's the whole team. And so I think there was moments in the game where, you know, I got frustrated, and the growth in that standpoint of not having, whether it's bad body language or, you know, not saying anything or, you know, raising my temper, you know, maybe too much. I think that's been the growth. So being able to see the composure for me in those bad moments, those tough moments, maybe after a pick where their guy comes from right DN to the middle field, tips it, and, you know, those are frustrating moments where, you know, those are moments that can change momentum. And, you know, the guys look at me and they're like, okay, you know, he's composed. He's, you know, he's still strong-willed that, you know, we're going to come out here. We're going to, you know, score this next drive. And maybe we don't. But, you know, we're going to get up. We're going to fight. Fall down 7 times. Get up 8. Keep swinging. Awesome. The Bears.
One note on Caleb Williams, by the way. He has 8 passing touchdowns through 4 games. That's tied for 3rd most by a Bears quarterback through the first 4 games of a single season in team history. Was he perfect? No. Was he a winner? Yes. And if you want to react to that, 312-644-6767. Also, have you heard the locker room audio after the Bears win? Is it proof of a changing culture? We'll have that audio for you coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.